God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is actually coming from the reading on page 4, Genesis chapter 12, 10 through 20. In this chapter of Genesis, we have Abram getting to the promised land in the first 9 verses. And you'll find out if you read those verses, he seems to do a lot of moving around. And you would think that for someone who just got to the promised land after traveling a long way to get there, that he'd probably be happy and just settle down in one place. No, he kept moving. And then verse 10 kicks in and says, now there was a famine, so Abram went down to Egypt. And you may just be sitting there going, Abram, are you just like nuts? God has given you the promised land. He delivers you the promised land. And what's one of the first things you do? You leave the promised land. Well, today's sermon is titled, Leaving the Promises of God. Abram wasn't the first one to leave the promise of God. And to make matters even a little bit worse, as he gets into Egypt, he's a little concerned not for his wife, but for his own life. So he tells his wife to sort of tell a little bit of a fib, a half-truth here, that she is really his sister. I don't know, I think if I was Sarah, my first reaction would be, what's wrong? Yes, he's trying to butter her up and saying, oh, you are so beautiful, they're going to try to take you as the wife of Pharaoh. And yes, that did took place here. But what about his commitment? What about that marriage bond? What about that special relationship between husband and wife? Again, the promises made before God are now just tossed aside. So what do we do with Abram? Abram, who's considered to be one of the patriarchs, all of a sudden in Genesis chapter 12 seems a little mischievous. Does he really believe and trust in the promises of God? Well, I will admit, what would you do if you were in that position? Scripture does say there was a famine in the land. So in the midst of hardship, in the midst of devastation, in the midst of everything seeming to go wrong in your life, have you ever said, I just want to get up and leave? Have you ever said, you know, I don't want it anymore? Have you ever said to God, you know, enough of this, and turned your back on him? Have you ever given up? Abram was probably at that same point. I don't know exactly where he was in his faith, but I get a little bit of an inkling from Genesis chapter 12, now that I've given you all the bad news. Let's unpack one of the words that was there. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. The word sojourn doesn't necessarily mean live, it means wander there. Abram seemed to have the intention of wanting to return back to the promised land. He just couldn't stay in the promised land because of the famine. And probably, I'm going to do some assumption here. I don't get this from Scripture, but let's just put some of the facts together and I'm going to sort of assume here. If you want to disagree with me, that's fine. Abram gets to the land. I'm sure he's not shouting at the top of his voice, this is my land, because there are people living there, okay? But as soon as he gets to that land, all of a sudden there's a famine. Well, the people are probably superstitious. Who causes famine? Probably Abram. No wonder he's kind of on the run, so to speak. The locals don't want him. So it's time for him to leave. He eventually does get back, but we'll save that for another point. For today, as we take a look at what happened to Abram, let's do some comparison and contrasting for our own lives. How many times would we agree with the person speaking to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief? How many times in our lives do we get to the point of despair, discouragement, saying, okay, God, where are you? You promised to be with me, and I feel all alone. You promised to help me out, and I feel abandoned. How many times do we sort of feel like we are in a famine? Yes, there's plenty of food, but just things are just not going well. Is this the way that God operates? God called Abraham to this land, but yet then God couldn't necessarily have this land support him at this time and this place when he was there? Well, the answer to this is God does allow certain things to come into our lives to sort of test our faith. Now, some people might say, well, what kind of God is that? A God who allows evil things and bad things to come into our lives? And the theologians like to talk about it this way. God operates in two modes. One, his normal mode. That is, his mode of love. His mode of giving out of good gifts. His mode of forgiving. And then, God also has another mode that he doesn't like. And that is when he does allow things like famine and other evils to creep into our lives. Why would God allow this? In one essence, in order to test our faith. Because they will happen. And God needs to know and wants to strengthen us in our relationship with him. So when bad things happen in our lives, do we immediately gravitate toward God and saying, okay, God, you lead me, you guide me, you tell me where to go? Or do we give up on God and say, enough of your promises. They haven't panned out. Or right now they're not going well. Abraham had some bad experiences, and so do we. As I gather, as you're here tonight, hearing God's word, that we haven't completely abandoned God. But yet, let's not beat up on Abraham too much either. Because if we take a look in our own lives, we also may find that there have been times in our lives where we have doubted. There are times in our lives where we sort of felt like we were sort of on the edge, or maybe we even did completely rebel against God. It reminds me of the early Christians. The early Christians, some of them were captured, tortured, thrown into the lion's den. But typically they would always be given a chance to renounce the faith. What about those who actually did renounce the faith? Just because they weren't ready to make that commitment to die. Do we call them lesser Christians? Be careful. Peter was in the same situation. None of us can really react and know exactly what the future may bring. We may say, I hope that when that time comes that I will be strong in the faith. Yes, that is my hope. But if my knees kick out from within me, this is the beauty of the God that we've come to worship. There is forgiveness. Our Lord does restore. Our Lord does promise. We have to remember that from the moment we were conceived, we were always pushing away from God. It is God who continues to shower his love and his grace upon us. So what happens when our adversities come through our lives? Like the person speaking to Jesus, we may say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I struggle here. Help me with the struggle. Help me to believe and trust that you will take care of me, that you will provide for me, that you do have my best interest. But what happens if God says, okay, but I'm going to allow this adversity to take your life? Does that mean we no longer have a loving God? No, he's still loving. Like Job, he suffered many afflictions, but yet Job still hung on to his faith and trust in God. Even though Abram got to the promised land, there was a famine. He really just couldn't stay there. It doesn't give us God's reaction to this, except for, strangely enough, God did protect Sarah. He had plans for Sarah to be the mother of the future generations, which included the Messiah. So obviously, Sarah could not stay in Pharaoh's house. And eventually, they did get back to the promised land. What's really interesting, Scripture has a very interesting sense of humor. I should say God does. Isaac, Abraham's son, when he was sort of in charge in the promised land, there was a famine. Strangely enough, it seemed like Isaac's first reaction was, let's leave. But God said, no, wait a minute. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I don't know whether God knew I guess he did know. Whether he knew what Abraham did and wanted to say, okay, Isaac, let's not make the same mistake. You stay here. I will give you that word. And Isaac stayed. It's great when we have that clear word of God. But what happens when we don't and decisions have to be made? What happens when adversities come? We continue to put our faith and trust in God. Even if these adversities take our own life, the answer is yes. Remember, God hasn't abandoned us. He has forgiven our sins and He has destined to us a place in heaven above. Maybe God is trying to say, enough of your suffering here on earth. Come join me in heaven above and have the ultimate blessings of God. I will admit I cannot read into God's mind what He has in store for us. But one thing I do know is certain. God does test. He wants to know where we're going to stand, whether we're going to rely on Him or whether we're going to completely bail out. But when we are weak, when we do fall, when we seem to give in, God is always loving, caring, and forgiving. There's only one sin that is unforgivable, and that is the rejection of the Holy Spirit. Basically, a complete turning your back upon God and saying, I want nothing to do with God anymore. We hope and pray that never happens to any of us. But in the midst of these hard times, Abraham still apparently hung on to his faith. Even in the midst of famine, even in the midst of possibly him losing his own life, and even his own wife. Yes, Abraham sort of hung in there, following the will of God. What about us? When life seems to be getting the best of us, are we hanging in there? Or do we seem to be hanging in by a thread, so to speak? Well, we still have the same God. The same God who not only forgives, but He says, I will also strengthen you. I will strengthen you with my own word. Strengthen you with this bread and wine, this body and blood of Christ. God also uses the community of believers we have here at Trinity to encourage one another, to support each other. And one of the wonderful blessings we now have before these midweek Lenten services is for us to gather together and share a meal as we have our soup suppers. Talk to one another, encourage one another in faith. We do need those prayers for one another. We do need those encouragements because, yes, life is not always easy and sometimes just the opposite. Because we are Christians, maybe we always will get the short end of the stick. Because that's exactly what happened to Abraham. If you follow my assumption here. Abraham wasn't going to announce when he got into the promised land and saying, all this is mine! No, that would make the current residents a little unhappy. So needless to say, I can kind of understand where Abraham is coming from. He had to sort of tread a little lightly in the promised land until God completely delivered it. What's kind of funny nowadays, that same piece of real estate is being fought over by many different people groups. It's kind of strange, each one of them claiming their own interesting heritage to it. Each one claiming that this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Not showing a lot of love nor forgiveness to one another, but a lot of hatred. This wasn't the land that God, or that wasn't the ideal purpose for the land that God promised to Abraham. God promised to Abraham a land flowing with milk and honey, not a land full of hatred and war. The people in today's world need to understand a little bit more of what and who this God is, the God of Abraham, a God of love, a God of mercy, a God who is there, who does care for people. Not a God of anger and wrath who just goes ahead and wipes people out of hatred and spite. But yet, that's today's world. For us in our lives, we have to remember we do have a God who does care for us. So when it seems like we are in our own famine, when it seems like we want to give up hope, let's remember what Abraham did. He got to the promised land thinking that this was going to be great. And eventually it would be, but not at that time. So also in our lives will be great, Not necessarily here on earth. Finally, in heaven above, yes, where it is the true promised land. Until that time, we ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us in this faith, to help our unbelief, because it's still there. It's part of our sinful human nature. And to give us strength that when trials and tribulations come in our lives, when the famines of this world come across our path, that we do not lose hope, but we hang on to God with all our heart, soul, and strength. We ask the Holy Spirit to increase our faith during those times, so that like Abraham, we can hang on to the promises of God instead of leaving completely the promises of God. We ask the Lord to continue to bless us. As he blessed Abraham very richly and mightily, he also will bless us. Maybe not this side of heaven. The ultimate blessing comes on the other side of heaven. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.